Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Arb Life Podcast. This morning, I'm joined by Jeff Inman of Limb Walker in Louisville, Kentucky. Jeff is a certified arborist, a husband, a brother, and a son. This is the Arb Life, for arborists to be inspired.
Hang on, I gotta want to make sure this is recording. All right, sweet. Yo, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, awesome. Jeff Inman, the American. What's up, brother?
What's up, man? Hey, have a good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, man. Thanks for joining me. I know you said you were getting in a workout early this morning, because that's what champions do. Love it. Jeff Inman, arborist from Limb Walker in Louisville, Kentucky. Second place in Masters at the International Tree Climbing Competition this year in Columbus, Ohio. Congrats on that, Jeff. I know I said, I had an interesting project for us, experiment, and I think in the context of discussing you as an industrial athlete and your experience this year at the competition, I always try and find a little piece of inspiration from a book I have laying around, and I was sort of scurrying around the office this morning looking for something, and I came across this book by Michael Jordan. That's Michael Jordan, the basketball player, and the title is I Can't Accept Not Trying. And I thought it was pretty cool because the book is broken down into six very simple chapters, and they're titled Goals, Fears, Commitment, Teamwork, Fundamentals, and Leadership. And so if we could, I'd like to try and have a conversation about each one of those topics and how it sort of pertains to your experience either this year at the competition or over the past few years as you've worked up to where you are in life. And sort of frame the conversation like that. How does that sound to you, Jeff?
That sounds great.
That's so awesome, man. All right. Well, then let's start with goals. Was there a point where you had decided, that you had the goal of becoming a better tree climber or winning your chapter or, becoming a better arborist at work? So how does that kind of work for you as far as goals and how you set your goals up for yourself?
Well, man, it started 7 years ago from the first job I stepped foot on. I've started with Bartlett Tree Experts, and the moment I stepped foot on the first job, it was just kind of like there's nothing better. There can't be anything better than this. So it was just kind of trying to get better at doing tree work, and in my first year, I got to go and just watch the Mid-Atlantic Chapters comp and watched Coates and Earhart and Whitelock and all those guys throw down. And I was like, holy crap, like you can compete in this. And then growing up with a sports background, it was kind of like, okay, well, next year I'll give it a shot and see how it goes. And man, after that first comp, which did not go well, it did not go well at all. I think I finished second to last that year. After that, it was just, I don't know, it got in my blood, and I couldn't shake it. It's more powerful than any like addiction I've ever grappled with. It's just like you just wanna push it. So then 3 years ago, I distinctly remember being in a white oak doing this big, weight reduction prune, and it just kind of hit me thinking about the comp that was coming up. I was like, man, these guys are only as, and girls, they're only as good as they are because they put the time in. I was like, there's no reason I can't also put some time in and try to really push the envelope. And it just seemed to kind of blossom from there.
That's I think a good segue into the next topic. So, you know, once you decide, okay, I'm gonna put the time in, I know what it takes to get better, and I know what I want, and I want to go after this. So then, you know, let's move into the concept of fears, you know, the hurdles that you face, or maybe a bad performance or whatever it is. You know, and I'm looking at my little book here, and it says, fear is an illusion. You know, the old cliche, but I think it's pertinent here. So talk a little bit about that, maybe overcoming some hurdles mentally or physically or whatever it may be.
Well, I mean, there's always the fear as you compete more, and that's the kind of thing, as you compete more and you start to have better performance, then, like, people kind of start to hold you up to a certain expectation. So there's always the fear there of not living up to, I guess, not necessarily other people's expectation, but, like, the expectation that I have of myself, like putting in the time, like doing all the physical training, all the, you know, nutrition, all that stuff, and for, you know, me to like have a goose egg in something, in an event, is just kind of, it's hard to grapple with.
Yeah. Just the simple fact of not performing up to your standards or to the level that, you know, you can, or you want to be at, certainly is always in the back of your mind every time you're going into an event. Well, so you talked a little bit about, you know, nutrition and training and stuff like that. And, I think that's a good segue next into this concept of commitment. So maybe talk, if you can talk a little bit about your routine, your physical fitness, how your work as a production climber is figured into that stuff. So maybe talk a little bit about the commitment to your plan of attack and sort of how you frame your weeks or your days as an arborist and as an industrial athlete.
Yeah. So the only thing I find I have any level of control of is first thing in the morning, trying to do some level of workout. So it's usually a lot of just body weight kind of exercises, push-ups, pull-ups. I do a bunch of simulated foot locks in off my pull-up bar to try to get the abs working, and then just eat right. So then the work day. It changes every day. So if I do go climb after work, it kind of is catered to how hard I push myself during the day. So maybe I'll just go and do a dangle about up in a tree just to kind of really decompress from a hard day. Or if it's been like some ornamental pruning, I'll, you know, try to do like 200 feet worth of foot locking, and do simulate or like do ground to crown masters runs. That's honestly the thing I probably run the most because it's the most fun.
Totally.
And you get the best of all the things that you really need to work on, I feel like.
Talk about work, being at work and the people you surround yourself with, the people that influence you. You had mentioned, you know, some guys from the Mid-Atlantic chapter. One of the topics here in this little book again is teamwork. And I'd like to read a quote really quick at the beginning of the chapter. It says that talent wins games, but teamwork and intelligence wins championships. So maybe talk a little bit about your mentors, your current influences, and sort of how the team around you, whether it be family or friends or coworkers, whatever, the team that you have in place and how they've allowed you to pursue your goals and to stay committed to your plan of attack?
Yeah, so it's absolutely not, even though like it's just one person walking in the ring, it's absolutely not one person that makes that happen. My number one teammate is and always will be my wife, Kelsey. She's put in a level of time that just doesn't get seen. She'll go out to the park with me and time me on things, or it's funny, she like actually knows the rules better than I feel like a lot of competitors, just because of how often she's out with me. Tons of late nights, like waiting on dinner, just because we're out training. So that, and then the rest of my family, you know, one setting me up early on, you know, putting me in sports and building that kind of routine for training, and then just the constant level of support throughout. And then my youngest brother, Zach, is actually a climbing arborist now, so he's been pushing. But then on the professional side, obviously the entire Mid-Atlantic chapter, James Earhart, Chris Coates, Mike Blashford, Andrew Donovan, you know, those are the guys that I was chasing for Masters for a really long time. And it helped push me to that next level. You know, Brian Brock, kind of opened my eyes a little bit more to creative single line work. And, you know, and then obviously old Skipper, Mr. Corey Petrie, he's just been a great source of inspiration and motivation, even during the work week of, you know, I'm not going to say he's an old guy, but he's older than I am, and he's still getting after it like the boss that he is. So it's a constant inspiration. And then, you know, Jeff Manning is, you know, has been one of my closest buddies. I've known him, you know, well over half my life, and he's a large reason as to why I'm in the industry just to begin with. So, I mean, I know I'm leaving people out. They're just so – that's the great thing about our community is there's just so many people that that support one another to push everybody to be better. Yeah, it's still the most supportive competitive thing I've ever done in my entire life, and I love every second of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a constant theme, I think, that always seems to end up coming up in these conversations is the community and the network of people in the industry and the camaraderie that's really illuminated at, you know, at these sorts of events. Well said, Jeff. I do want to get to the next topic here. We have two left, and we're left with right now with the topic of fundamentals. And I think fundamentals, as it applies to anything in our line of work or extracurricular competitive events. Here in the book, it says, the minute you get away from fundamentals, the bottom can fall out. Can you talk about maybe one or two just fundamental philosophies that govern you as an arborist or as a competitor that you seem to constantly be focused on, how it drives your performance either in the workplace or at a competition?
Yeah, so there's really kind of two basic things that seem to push, well, I guess three, that push me, motivate me every day. One is my mentor with Bartlett is a guy, his name's Rob Springer. He's the safety and training coordinator for the kind of Mid-Atlantic region. He always told us that the way you do anything is the way you do everything. So whether that's tying your boots in the morning, how you set your rope in a tree, or the cuts you're actually making in the tree, you know, all the way down to how you're raking. If you're doing it, you should be doing it right. And if you are slacking in one way, it's going to show itself on the tail end. The other is I like to say do everything with intention. So it's kind of in that same vein of like, even if you're, you know, going to pick up a rake, like don't just kind of write it off. Like don't get complacent about doing that. Because even the little things, if we're not doing the little things with intention and doing them correctly, how are we going to expect ourselves to do the big things that keep us safe and allow us to go home to our friends and family every night? And then the last one is it's in the first part of fundamentals is fun. Like that's part of why I got into this line of work and pursue it with the passion that I do is because it's fun. And if it's not, if you're not having fun with it, then stop. I mean, like, don't just go and train for the sake of training. I mean, some days you kind of have to push yourself into it, but if it's constantly hard and working you to death and you're not having fun, then it's not worth it. Medals are cool and it's nice to win things, but like, that's not what life's about. Like, you got to enjoy the process, enjoy what you're doing. So have fun with it.
Absolutely. Well said, Jeff. Well said. Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, this, and you touched on it a little bit when you talked about your mentors, about the people that you look up to being a leader, whether it be a leader at home or a leader for your family or your crew members. There's definitely a certain type of attitude that comes along with it when we talk about leadership. Here in the book, it says, if you don't back it up with performance and hard work, talking doesn't mean a thing. And you know, I think that many people would agree with me is that you definitely are such an unassuming, kind, soft-spoken person, but a true savage in the trees. And I think that's such a cool trait as a leader, you know, because talk is cheap. And I think that you embody that sort of character really quite well. You're a true gentleman, arborist, and just an educated guy and always a pleasure to talk to. You know, can you maybe just comment real quick on your role as a leader and if it's something that you struggle with or, you know, how you sort of carry yourself at work or around others, to sort of fulfill that role as a leader?
Yeah, well, first, thanks, bro. Those are really kind words. I really appreciate that. It's funny, over this past year getting ready for the Kentucky comp, one of the guys that I was kind of training up and working with, is quite proficient at running his mouth. Mainly out of just kind of, I think, nervous energy, and it was pretty comical most of the time. But what I would try to repeat to him over and over again is, don't let your mouth do the talking, let your climbing do the talking, because talk is cheap. And I think that also goes into the day-to-day work of, you know, I can talk about wearing my helmet and safety glasses all day long, but if... unless I'm doing it, I'm not actually making a difference. I'm not stressing the importance of doing things the right way to the guys that I know are looking up to me, whether they're the guys that are working at Limwalker or they're the kind of, you know, mom and pop company that's across the street that's never seen half of what we've got on our truck. So the whole lead by example, you know, sounds kind of cliche, but I, that's the way that I've always tried to approach any type of leadership role I've had, is I'm not going to ask somebody to do something that I personally wouldn't do. I'm going to be right there in it with them, you know, and doing it to the best of my ability to hopefully inspire the people around me to kind of follow in that same footstep.
Well, I know you can't see me right now, bro, but I got a tear running down my cheek, brother. I'm telling you what. Jeff Inman, you know, just awesome, awesome individual, family man, a husband, a brother, a son, a true example of a modern arborist. Jeff, thanks so much. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Thanks for your friendship over the past few years. And you truly inspire me, brother, and I just want to let you know that. And it's been truly great talking with you this morning, Jeff.
Thanks, TC, dude. You this Arb Life that you've created is a constant source of inspiration for me, dude. So it's a huge honor to even to be asked to speak on your podcast, dude. I'm loving it this morning.
Hey man, I'm gonna get this edited up and get it out there, and stay tuned for more, Jeff. I really appreciate it, brother. Enjoy your day.
Thanks, dude. You too.
Thanks for joining us on another edition of the Arb Life Podcast. You can sign up for an email subscription on our website, www.thearblife.com. Support the blog and the podcast by going on over to our shop and purchasing a tank top. This is the Arb Life, for arborists to be inspired.